Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
God's calling me to go back to health. Let's just say that. I made the worst decision of my life by going to conventional medicine. They woke me up from the surgery prematurely. I guess I'm not sure if they didn't give me enough anesthesia, but I woke up and then it was still having some complications. And the surgeon said, like, you know what? You're still having these problems. We may need to remove your entire intestine. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing possible. You made me completely worse. I think you ruined my life. So there's some people that kind of do like an all meat based diet. It's like the carnivore diet. Why don't you look into that and see if that works for you? I was so impressed on how I healed myself because I think right before that, I attempted suicide twice. I've had a lot of painful experiences in my life, but I don't think anything measures up to getting your intestines cut open, waking up too early, and then getting your intestines cut open again without any anesthesia. You know, using food as medicine. You won't even need any kind of pharmaceuticals. I know a lot of people are going to be attacking me. They're like, oh, he's the carnivore lawyer. He's the meat eater. If you have a doctor, and if he does not ask you about your lifestyle or your diet, and he gives you pharmaceuticals, you don't have a true doctor. You have a drug dealer.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the Power of a Proper Human Diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome Christopher to the channel. Welcome, Christopher. How are you doing?
Fairly well, Carrie. And thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. I am really interested. You sent me some emails and we met out at the, where did we meet out? Austin meetup?
Yeah, it's the Healing Humanity with you, Adam, and Dr. Kiltz and a few others at the Healing Humanity at Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I really I appreciate that you came out and you're supporting Healing Humanity. We got to talk to you, got to hear a little bit of your story, and I'd love to share more of it with the audience. So maybe sure. If we could start out, what sort of led you into this carnivore space?
It was God's calling me to go back to health. Let's just say that. So I may explain to you earlier that I, although I've been an athlete most of my life, I've never really been out of shape. And I know a lot of the people from the carnivore community use kind of a big popular thing is for fat loss. For mine is actually for healing. Even though I was an athlete during most of my life and, you know, I was a high school wrestler, a very competitive wrestler, going into college, I became a personal trainer. Even though I was partying in college as a fraternity president, I still always stayed in good shape. I was doing powerlifting and then I ran my own business going into law school. And I ran my own business as a personal trainer, did very well. And I was actually took it very extreme in the law school where probably one of the best shapes of my life was in law school is because I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and I basically made all my own food. And I worked with the registered dietitian who was also a bodybuilding coach to do all natural bodybuilding. So it was mainly ketogenic with some carb cycling on, you know, a couple times a week and right before a contest. But I did all natural bodybuilding and actually paid very well during my training practice. It actually paid for law school. And my last contest was in 2010 when I was Mr. Los Angeles Natural in 2010. And then I went into pass the bar exam. And then I was practicing law for the first couple years afterwards, stayed in decent shape. But then in 2016 and 2017, I think that's where something kind of hit me from a blind side. I started developing some autoimmune conditions. I'm not sure if it was completely from stress, but people suspect those from some kind of infections. And I made the worst decision of my life by going to conventional medicine. And, you know, I never used to go to doctors before that because I never really got sick. And I was like, you know, what is wrong with me? I couldn't wake up in the morning. I was in widespread pain and my gut was one of the worst. And I was having joint problems head to toe. And this is something very odd. I knew I was sick with something. But when I went to the conventional doctors, I went to the GI doctors. And the biggest regret is that they fed me a bunch of pharmaceuticals for about a year and a half, 2 years. And it was mainly just antibiotics, laxatives, and corticosteroids, which completely destroyed my gut. And I got so bad to a point in early 2017 where the GI doctors saw how inflamed I was getting. And they sent me to a surgeon who recommended a partial removal of my sigmoid colon, which is one of your last pieces of your intestine. And he promised that, you know, you're going to feel a lot better if I just remove this piece of your intestine. You know, I'm pretty sure this is the only going to be the thing that needs to get resolved. And I was desperate at the point because I, you know, used to be a very social butterfly and used to have a really good social life and dating life during college. And it was just in the best shape of my life like 5 years prior. So I went in through the surgery, and that's where everything became completely worse. So the first thing is that they woke me up from the surgery prematurely. I guess I'm not sure if they didn't give me enough anesthesia, but I woke up as they were sewing my intestine shut. Oh. So one of the worst feelings you could possibly imagine. I screamed probably so loud that the entire hospital in Orange County heard me, and here in California, and they had to give me a bunch of morphine to put me back to sleep. And I woke up, and I was just nauseous for a couple of days. And they said, "Okay, we're gonna release you." I'm like, "I haven't been even walking, and I don't even know if these things work. And are you sure I should get released?" So yeah, it's fine. And right when they started release me, I started having some complications, just pain and just spasms. And then a few weeks later, you know, I was just trying to manage it. I couldn't move because I think even when I try to sit up in the morning, like, because I was so used to having very strong abdominals, especially in my competing days, I couldn't sit up because my stomach was in so much pain just because it just got cut open. And I ended up getting this swelling about 2 inches below my belly button. So if you know of a lot of surgeries, it was a laparoscopic surgery where a lot of them were small incisions, and the main incision was about 2 inches below my belly button. It's called the anastomosis site, and so it was like a 2 or 3 inch scar that went horizontally, and I started developing this very bad swelling, and it got to the point where it swole up to the size of a grapefruit. And you're one of the few people that actually showed the photo to, by the way. You can share it with Adam. I told Adam I had photos, but you saw how swelling it was getting 2 inches below the belly button. It's not like someone just getting bloated. It's like below your belly button, you got this swelling the size of a grapefruit. It's almost like the movie The Alien, where it's about to pop up out of my stomach. So I took some photos and sent it to the surgeon. He's like, "Get to the ER immediately," and they had to recut me open, and there was no anesthesia. They said it was mostly superficial, but I felt everything. I was completely awake. I just bit my tongue to the point where I started bleeding in my mouth just to cover the pain. They cut it back open, and they had to squeeze out all the infection and extra fluid out. And when I asked them if they're going to sew it back up, they said no, because the infection came from the inside. So what we're going to do is we're going to basically keep the wound open, but you're going to change the gauze. You're going to keep it clean. Don't do anything. You're going to change the gauze 3 times a day, morning, midday, and evening. Did that for a few weeks, and then the swelling started coming back, and it got reinfected. They had to cut me back open again, go back to the ER, and awake the whole time. So I built a very good pain tolerance since then as a result, but definitely not proud of it. It was still having some complications, and the surgeon said, like, you know what, you're still having these problems. We may need to remove your entire intestine. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing possible. You've made me completely worse. The pharmaceuticals is one thing, but cutting my gut open, I wish I had never done this. Supposed to just remove 6 inches of my intestine and just completely just screwed everything up. So I gave the doctor the middle finger. I said, I don't fucking trust you. I think you ruined my life. And I'm going to look in some alternative medicine and some other options. And the one thing I did, because even though I was doing elimination diet, because I was getting so sensitive, especially after getting your intestines cut open, when you're very inflamed, you get sensitive to everything. So I had to do an elimination diet. I was doing keto. I knew I couldn't handle any carbohydrates, but while still having a lot of problems, and I ended up doing a 10-day water fast. I think it was like going in like the end of 2017, going into 2018, because I was having ongoing problems. I didn't want to go back to the hospital. It ended up kind of doing some initial healing, and then this was one, because even though I did a few fasts, this was one of the few fasts where I actually refed on meat. Because I was looking into like, hey, people doing bone broth, like, you know, as part of a healing, like, maybe I just got to stick with just meat. And I noticed it was so much easier coming off the fast. And I was like, I felt better. I was like, well, I think I'm onto something right now. And I started doing some, you know, some experience. Okay, what am I sensitive to? Different types of meats? The meats were causing the problems. I'm like, it was plants. It was vegetables. And even when I was trying to do my sweet potatoes, which was my main safe carb when I was competing in bodybuilding, because you would do 3 days of just chicken or, you know, fish or steak and vegetables and some fats, and then you would refeed on carbohydrates. So sweet potatoes was my main safe carb. I was having problems with that. And even honey, same thing. With mange, I was like, oh my God, this is barbaric. And what's going on? And I even had an inflammatory response to coconut oil. And that was kind of very rare for me, because I remember when I was just doing keto and I was doing like fasted training, sometimes in the morning I'll do a little bit of coconut oil right before the workout. The coconut oil was burning my mouth. I was like, this is all right. I'm onto something. And I just started doing just meat. And I was like, all right, I think I probably just need to eat meat the rest of my life. Let me look into this more. And some of my colleagues, most of my true friends are from the fitness industry. I kind of made this a public statement. A lot of people are don't like even my father, who's also an attorney, doesn't like me stating this. I don't like most attorneys. I'm not very proud of my profession for many reasons. I think I'm going to be in purgatory for at least a period of time before I actually go to heaven. So I'm trying to shorten my time in purgatory, and that's why I really want to give back to the community. But anyways, most of my friends from the fitness industry said, hey, you know what? There's some people that kind of do like an all-meat-based diet. It's like the carnivore diet. Why don't you look into that and see if that works for you? So I think in 2018, this is when I was kind of doing these experiences, like, all right, let's see what's working out. And right about that time, I remember I did some blood tests and it showed for Lyme disease. And I wasn't convinced that was the only problem. Like, you know, you got to address it. Even if I was having some infections and some co-infections, my body was so inflamed, I need to heal. All right. So let's go back on track. Let's no alcohol, nothing, you know, make sure I'm eating only certain foods to get me better. And I actually ended up following Michaela Peterson. This is before she got very popular. And it was actually a telephone consult. She just called me like for a half hour consult. She's like, you look it, I got all these autoimmune conditions under control, or kind of at least in remission, but you can't eat anything that has plants. Like, you got to cook with tallow. Before that, I didn't even know what tallow was. I'm like, what the hell is tallow? You don't see it at grocery stores half the time. You got to go to like Whole Foods or Sprouts. So I was like, all right, and I started just doing a lot of tallow, and it, you know what? It wasn't having any burn problems. If I ate too much, it would go right through me, but I'm like, no, this is comfortable. I'm onto something. And then I was so intrigued. After this, I consulted with Sean Baker. This was before he was already semi-popular, but he became a lot bigger after that. And this was like middle of 2018, and he said, yeah, you just got to transition afterwards. You got to see what meats suit you best. And I was like, you know, I probably want to get really involved with this and probably stick with the community. And I talked to him about staying with the Paleo Medicina group out of Budapest, Hungary, which was run by Dr. Sophia Clemens. In my eyes, they're one of the true kind of groups that actually started the meat-based carnivore diet, in my true opinion, because they are one of the few clerics that did like clinical studies to showing how they put so many conditions in remission, trial and error, clinical studies, actual patients. And I consulted with them, and I think it was Thanksgiving Day in 2018, in November, I flew over to Budapest, and I stayed with them for about a week and a half. And I remember when I went with them, I was still taking supplements. I was taking some multivitamins, I was taking some glutamine powder to help the healing, and I remember I was taking some vitamin C to keep me from getting sick. And she's like, no, Dr. Clemens, like, Chris, you're not allowed to take any supplements. You're going to do nothing but very fatty meat, salt, and water. Nothing else. And I was kind of concerned. I was like, you know what? I'll still take in some herbs and stuff like that, because the prokinetics and just, you know, all the kind of the scar tissue kind of those. I was like, I need some motility. She's like, no, you're going to have enough fat. You don't need to worry about motility. And she was so right. It was, I think, I never handled pork that well, but I think in Hungary and in Spain, It's the pigs that they feed out there are all, they don't feed them any corn, they don't feed them any soy. They raise their own pigs. So it was very, I was very, you know, comforting. Like I usually get sick from pork. It was actually feeling so good. And I'm not sure if you know of the PKD diet by Paleo Medicina. It's probably the most fat of any diet you can kind of imagine, because keto is usually 70% fat, 30% protein, right? Or you're doing, if depends on what type of keto. Some of them do like 5% carbs, whatever. But no, they do 80% fat, and they do believe that fat is one of the true kind of healing kind of nutrients that a lot of people are missing. Quality animal fat, and that's where I became so intrigued. Where I was like, my God, I'm eating more fat. I'm staying slim. I'm actually feeling stronger, and I started exercising again. And when I came back to the United States, I was so impressed on how I healed myself, because I think right before that, I attempted suicide twice. Right after the surgery, I attempted suicide twice. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I failed because I tried to get, you know, try to overdose on painkillers. I ended up throwing a lot of it out. Try to do the old garden hose and the gas pipe, exhaust pipe trick. And I got caught in Long Beach, California. I got caught. So I got a 5250 called on, got a 5150 called on me. And I was like, all right, I need to get better. So I need to feel better so I can be a little bit more confident. So when I came back to the United States, I was so thrilled on how it improved me. And I kind of wanted to spread the good word. I was like, look at, guys, we need to flip the food pyramid upside down. I remember I already had some additional credentials after passing the bar exam. I did a dietetics program, so I was a dietetic technician. I was going to get my master's in dietetics, but I told the USC kind of head school of like, I think their head master's program was of dietetics and gerontology. And I told them, I was like, well, okay, you have a good resume, really good resume. You're an attorney, but why do you think you're going to be a good candidate for a master's program in dietetics? And I told them, I was like, well, I think I can make some changes because you guys need to flip the food pyramid upside down. And they completely dismissed me. They're like, you're not a good candidate because you're not thinking the proper guidelines. And I said, no, this is completely wrong. I got my MBA instead. And then right during the lockdown, because you could already see how I'm so hesitant when people get overdosed on pharmaceuticals, the lockdown, and then they had the vaccine mandate right afterwards. And I was so pissed off, especially here in California, that I was like, you know what? People need to speak out. Why are people just becoming the sheep and bury their heads in the sand? People need to speak out. We shouldn't be forced to wear masks. We shouldn't be forced to be taking some random vaccines that are kind of even like promoted by Bill Gates, who has no medical background or any kind of like educational background besides developing computer viruses, right? Why are we listening to him? People need to speak out. So I ended up deciding to get my PhD in public policy administration because I had some goals of getting my voice heard at higher levels, and I think I could make some changes to Congress. I made this decision in 2021, and I started my PhD program, I think, end of 2022, and I'm right near the finish line. I'm doing my oral defense this afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time with my my committee for my dissertation. And I'm going to finalize a few steps afterwards and hopefully going to become the first doctor attorney of my family, because unfortunately I have other attorneys in my family. And they don't like what I have to say because they don't like me speaking against the vaccines. They don't like me promoting meat-based diet. They think I'm a conspiracy theorist just because I has these true feelings. But yeah, my goal is I believe there needs to be changes across the board for our own economy for a lot of different reasons, but mainly it's really towards the health. And I got connected with Bobby Kennedy's team late last year, and I went to inauguration. I went to the Maha inaugural ball. I got connected with some of his advisors from Team Kennedy, and they agreed to be my campaign manager because they thought of me as a younger Bobby Kennedy. And they said, you can make some changes. We want to get you in Congress. And I've been kind of a dual resident in California and Nevada. And they said, you know what? Don't waste your time with California. It's voter fraud. You got a lot of other problems too, but we really would like you to run for Nevada. And that's why I decided, well, yeah, I'm going to run for the House of Representatives. I have a good amount of support, and I really think I can win this, but I'm going to put probably every ounce in blood, sweat, and tears into this to make sure I can get elected. But I can certainly hope I can get a lot of support from everybody else who think similar.
Amazing. Man, incredible story. So much suffering. I can't imagine with the surgery.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I, you know what? I've had a lot of painful experiences. I think even when I was wrestling in high school, we went to a party in Compton, California. I got stabbed. You know, I got burned with some blowtorch as a prank. And, something that a lot of people already kind of know, or not a lot of people, but, you know, my client was a tattoo artist, and going into the bodybuilding industry, it was very common to get tattoos. So I have plenty of tattoos on my back. I even had a tattoo removed off my chest, which is a lot more painful than getting a tattoo. It was a very big tattoo. I've had a lot of painful experiences in my life, but I don't think anything measures up to getting your intestines cut open, waking up too early, and then getting your intestines cut open again without any anesthesia. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are just kind of need to toughen up eventually anyways. I think we need real strong men and women to lead this country, and I'd be happy to lead the forefront.
Absolutely. Do you feel like we talked to some of these doctors, and some people are of the mindset that this is the proper human diet. Everybody should be eating this way. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or do you feel like if you were eating this way since birth, would you have ever ended up in the hospital with the health issues that you had?
No, for a lot of different reasons, because I think if you're using a true diet for metabolic health, you know, using food as medicine, you won't even need any kind of pharmaceuticals. And I think after I passed the bar exam, it could have been just indulging in big dinners and going back to alcohol, a couple of things. It could be just a lot of stress, because as you and I know, stress can really impact your health regardless of how good you're eating. If your mental health is not in check, then yeah, it's going to have an indirect effect on your entire body. But yeah, I mean, I believe I think it was kind of like God's, when I was going back, I was like, oh my God, I can't eat all these foods that I was eating when I was competing in all natural bodybuilding. I was like the purest, kind of like just eating nothing but, you know, meat and vegetables. And, you know, and most of the fats when I was eating, by the way, when I was competing, it wasn't animal based fats. Occasionally it was just, if I had a very fatty piece of salmon, I wouldn't eat any kind of fats because it had some natural fats. But a lot of it was kind of like nuts and avocado, basically, as your kind of main fats. And I just noticed that, like, I couldn't have any plants. But I think it was kind of – I think when your body is so inflamed, you can only eat what your body truly needs to nourish. And I think it was kind of like an eye-opener. For me. I was like, I think God's telling me I need to eat what I have to eat in order to nourish my body. And I couldn't get away with any other foods. And I can't have any eggs or dairy. I'm a complete lion. So I think the only eggs I can have are like duck eggs, just because I don't have a reaction to that, and quail eggs. I'm not sure if you know, but quail eggs are a natural antihistamine too. So a lot of people are, but dairy, I don't even do ghee or either, like, occasionally, you know, if it's a big event and they give me a big filet mignon or a ribeye, you know, if they have if they have some butter on it, I'm like, it does taste good. It doesn't give me that bad. But if I really want to be very particular, I have to just eat tallow. Tallow and bone marrow. Actually, bone marrow is actually one of my favorites. Bone marrow and suet. So if you're sure. So I learned, by the way, is certain raw fats from a quality source, animal fats, raw suet and raw bone marrow is one of the most nourishing things on my gut. Even if I was like, if I was having like kind of like a irritated upper GI from like it was bad air quality, I'm like, God, my upper, like, instead of just taking like any kind of medications or anything for like a soothing tea or something, I was like, you know, I'll just eat a little bit of raw suet. It kind of really soothes my upper gut. So yeah, I think going back to your question, I think if we're truly eating what we need to survive, you don't need any kind of medical intervention. And I think that's a huge problem, as I discussed with Dr. Kiltz at our podcast, our in-person podcast. And I think a lot of the doctors, I don't think they're uneducated. I think they're miseducated. I don't think they're uninformed. I think they're misinformed. It's because, as you may know, if you follow my client, Anthony Chafee, we're going to discuss next week too, is that you'll know that a lot of the medical institutions worldwide, not just the United States, but worldwide, they're no longer teaching on natural health. They're teaching on pharmacology. Probably majority of all the teachings in all the major medical institutions are on pharmacology. For every problem, there's a pill to treat that. Okay, that's what they tell you. And that's what all doctors are really thinking, that that's the way they have to treat patients. I don't think a lot of doctors have really any kind of sinister kind of acts or behaviors that they want to hurt someone and just make a lot of money, even though a lot of them are getting kickbacks. No, I think they're like, okay, this is exactly what I was taught in medical school. There's a specific pharmaceutical that's going to treat it. There's a couple different side effects, but the most important thing is to treat it. And if they have these side effects, don't worry. We have other pharmaceuticals too that could treat those. And then you start learning the habit behavior.
Right. On the beef suet, it's so interesting you just mentioned that. I just started eating raw. It's freeze-dried. I think it's from Australia. Beef suet. It's incredible.
Oh, Grassland.
That's the one.
Yeah. You know what? They're out of stock on Amazon, but that's the easiest thing, because sometimes I would buy from major farms like White Oak Pastures or just a couple other ones, even like North Star Bison, because sometimes if my histamines act up like during like the allergy season and I can't handle it, I can never handle like AB. Sometimes I can handle aged beef, but if my histamines are acting up, I have to have really fresh beef. But one of the things I used to do is just get a bunch of raw suet. I would, chop it up in very small pieces and kind of like, basically nibble on it throughout the day. And it was kind of something that was very soothing for my upper GI. And I think Dr. Clemens also recommends that too, that sometimes a lot of people, I can't eat a lot of rendered fat. It'll go right through me. It doesn't feel like the laxative diarrhea that I was taking when I was like the pharmaceuticals that are just kind of irritate your intestines. It's just going to run right through. It's just going to feel a little uncomfortable. But no, I think raw, if I need to increase my fat intake, I'd prefer just to do it through raw suet or raw bone marrow. And basically you could basically defrost like a frozen bone marrow just right at like room temperature for like 20 or 30 minutes and just pop it right out. It slides right out. It's very soothing. So yeah, I think raw nutrition, it's got to be a properly sourced, because I've had some raw beef that was, straight up from like Ralph's or Kroger or some of the crappy grocery stores. I felt like crap. Maybe it was just because of age. I didn't get extremely sick. I just felt like, oh God, I feel like really fatigued and just, I feel like crap. But no, if I get it from a really good source, I feel amazing.
Right. On your comments with the doctors, I'm with you on the same page. I think they mean well, and they've kind of been steered in the wrong direction. I don't know, like you being an attorney from a legal standpoint, but I often wonder with some of these, there's like, what is the Hippocratic Oath? Do no harm. I was on so much medication for like 15 years, depression, anxiety, heart issues. And I was harmed by not treating the root cause of the problem. I almost wonder with some of these doctors, like at what point does it become an issue?
You became a customer just like I did. You didn't become a patient. And that's where it's like, okay, you're going to take this. We're going to see how you do. And if come back in a couple of weeks, and if it's improving, we'll probably maybe increase the dosage. Or if it's not improving, we'll try another pharmaceutical and we'll just do trial and errors. And that's where you're really, if you have a doctor you go to see and you're having some problems, and if he does not ask you about your lifestyle or your diet and he gives you pharmaceuticals, you don't have a true doctor. You have a drug dealer. And that is so accurate in so many different ways. So a lot of people need to recognize that, okay, yeah, why isn't the doctor asking, especially when they're just with a lot of diabetic patients, it's just like, okay, we're going to increase your metformin before your food intake. No, and when I did the dietetic rotations, by the way, at some of the larger hospitals here in Los Angeles County, when I was becoming a dietetic technician, I noticed that a lot of the registered dietitians are actually acting as pharmaceutical doctors now too, is because, okay, you're going to eat a carbohydrate meal at lunch. Instead of modifying the meal, they would say, okay, no, you're going to eat that, but we're going to increase your amount of metformin you're going to be taking before the meal, because you're going to be eating about 120 grams of carbohydrates. So we've got to time that out. And they think they're going to be helping, but in reality, they're worsening the patients.
Right.
So I think there needs to be a lot of changes. And I discussed this with a lot of people at Team Kennedy too, is that we got to change the curriculum at all these medical institutions, because as you may know, Kerry, the biggest donors and funders for these medical institutions are pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, a few other ones. And these are statements of fact. These are facts. These are not just some kind of beliefs and arguments or conspiracies. These are open-end statements that say that, yeah, some of our biggest donors are some of these major pharmaceutical companies. So what are they doing? They're like, yeah, we're going to be your major donor, but we'd like you to promote these pharmaceuticals as part of the curriculum for your medical students. And it's kind of a revolving circle that they ended up just getting people a lot worse. And I think we need to change that across the boards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm happy you're going in there to fight the good fight. Today's my 2-year carniversary, so I haven't been doing this for terribly long. But when I first started, I never, what's going on with Make America Healthy Again, I never would have thought we'd see something like that in our government for a long time. Are you surprised by that? How fast it kind of came about?
No, it is quite surprising. And even though, you know, Bobby Kennedy is not like a carnivore, he still promotes some of the main things that we just need to change in our everyday lives. Reducing your sugar intake, less processed foods, no seed oils, no antibiotics in our kind of our livestock, and getting some quality sunlight, less pharmaceuticals. I mean, just his recommendations alone on that are just would make substantial changes, but I think it needs to be a little bit more elaborated, and there needs to be a little bit more changes, especially when it comes to the medical institutions too. I think that's going to be a major change to change with the Department of Health, and that's why I kind of want to work with this team to kind of embrace this. And they asked me, they're like, hey, you're a very outspoken attorney. I do have an offensive sense of humor, and I think one thing my campaign manager is teaching me is to use less four-letter words in a lot of my statements. So, and I'm Italian, so I have a very, really rough vocabulary. Italian attorney is probably the worst kind of vocabulary you can kind of put together, too.
Plus carnivore.
plus carnivore. I noticed that, too. I'm trying to become a little bit more bipartisan rather than attacking the incomplete left, and making the obvious statements like, what was it, vegans or vegetarians are three times more likely to become a Democrat?
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
I mean, but you can kind of think of like the lines of like the, it's, I think carnivore lifestyle, it's not just a diet. It is a lifestyle. It's like, it's about making every part of your daily lives healthier, getting outside more, doing some grounding, getting some quality sunlight, getting some social interaction. I think that was the biggest thing about the lockdown with the increases in depression was people are locked inside at home and they're just they're driving around with a mask on in their own cars. And I already make the joke. It's like kind of sleeping with a condom on. Like it's not really making any sense. And I do conservatorships too. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's kind of like a guardianship for adults. I'm not sure if you know like the Britney Spears ordeal here in Los Angeles County. I actually know her judge very well, but it's usually when the average conservatorship is when the adults in the 70s and when they're in their 70s or 80s, they develop dementia and they no longer can remember their children's names. And then you have to take them to see like a geriatric psychiatrist or a neurologist or a gerontologist, so many times like a gerontologist, basically to review, to do an examination and make a conclusion on whether or not they have the sufficient mental capacity to manage their own finances. And a lot of people are developing dementia. And I think there's a trait. I think it's partially due to pharmaceuticals, but there's a reason why our country, there's a lot of reasons why our country is just becoming dumber. And even though Fox News didn't like me making that statement, and they cut out a lot of parts of my segment, my video, and they cut out a huge part of my comments about Big Pharma, because I didn't realize that Fox News gets a lot of their funding. It's supposed to be a Republican based kind of a news media outlet, and they're getting a lot of their funding from Big Pharma as well. It's just because people need to recognize that instead of kind of evolving, we're basically declining in our evolution. And I think we need to make a lot of changes going forward and beyond our natural health. It's a lot of things. I think we need to go back to true family traditions. That's why I do believe we should not only make America great again, but make America healthy again. And I think we need to focus on serving the people that are really going to be protecting our country. In my eyes, the farmers are the real people that put real food on our tables. And that's a huge part of my campaign, is to save the farmers. And that's why I really got along with Congressman Tom Massey at the Maha Inaugural Ball in D.C., because I'm not sure if you know of Tom Massey from Kentucky. He's a big kind of proponent of saving the farmers, too. More subsidies for farmers. we need less of a monopoly with the agriculture, because you can't be selling a lot of our farmland to big investors or China. No, we got to dedicate that. It should be reserved for American hardworking farmers. So there's a lot of changes I need to promote, and I think I have about another 19 months to talk about it too.
Well, I'm excited for that. My neighbor right down the road from me, he's a sixth generation farmer, and he's doing it right. The cows are naturally grazing in the field, regenerative farm. The guy works his butt off. I'll go out there sometimes 5 a.m. He's out there. I'll go out there 10 p.m. at night. He's out there, works a full-time job in between, 'cause he can't make enough money to pay the bills. And when we talk about Make America Healthy Again, I've heard some people say this is great for awareness, but how much can the government do when, in terms of nutrition and things like that, a lot of people have to just be their own advocate, take it into their own hand. But are there things that the government can do in terms of, I guess, like subsidies? Or
yeah, exactly. That's what I definitely want to discuss, is more subsidies. I mean, I'm very proud that the DOGE is making so many investigations to see where our tax dollars are really going. And I mean, how do you feel that $8 million of our tax dollars went to doing transgender sex changes for rats? I'm really trying to see the purpose of that. And I try to explain that to a lot of my liberal relatives. I'm like, you know, you're pissed at Elon for finding out a lot of our tax dollars went to, you know, buying, you know, $50 million of condoms for Gaza and sex changes. So what's the benefits of doing sex changes on rats? He's like, you know what? Those rats have lives too. Okay. This is where you're coming to like an argument where you're talking to a brick wall and you're like, okay, I'm really not getting any kind of logical response and, you know, to my questions. But yeah, I think when you focus on how much money, there is so much money that's floated around. I'm so fortunate that we're really tracking down a lot of where our tax dollars are going. It needs to be America first. People need to recognize that. I can't believe how much of our tax dollars are going to so many nations that people didn't even know about. I don't want to disrupt, like, make this completely political, but, you know, I think there is a huge concern with a lot of our tax dollars we're going are not even helping the American people. It's going to only other countries, but I think a good portion should come back to the American people, and a large portion of that, you know, should be going to people that are really saving, you know, lives or putting real food on our tables. And then you'll see how much money and funding should be going to American farmers. But I believe some more funding should be reserved for the American farmers. And I spoke with a lot of different American farmers too. And this is why I'm the sponsor for my high school wrestling team. And I actually, one of the few kind of like attorneys are like, hey guys, I'm going to have you like, I bought you guys about 40 pounds of meat. This is kind of like a thing right before they did like state finals. Like, guys, I don't want you guys just going out of town and eating a bunch of crap. Because when I was a wrestler in high school, I mean, we would just go to buffets after a tournament and just eat a bunch of shit. And then it was just like, oh my God, now I got to go cut weight again the next week. I was like, no, you need to nourish yourself, but you need to nourish yourself properly. So, a big thing I think needed to be changed is change in the curriculum with the AND, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, with all the schools. Because part of my dietetic rotations, we work with different charter schools in Los Angeles County. And, you know, I was so disturbed by seeing all the shit that we're serving the kids nowadays. So it's no wonder all our kids are kind of so screwed up and so overweight and so unhealthy and having so many metabolic conditions. I mean, this is our next generation. These are our country's future leaders. I think should play a huge focus on what we're going to be treating and serving our kids too.
I'm with you 100% on that. As you know, I'm filming this documentary, and one of the reasons I'm so passionate about it is the kids in this next generation. I like how sick you were, Christopher, how sick I was. And then I look at this next generation, what they're eating. I think we're going to look back 20, 30 years, like, what the hell were we doing? This is criminal. This is like a science experiment. Some of this food that they're being fed in the schools, or walking around with the Starbucks, just pure sugar, or food dyes and all this craziness. It would never before been seen.
And that is a huge draw concern too, because even though I have family that are kind of part of these school institutions as vice principals and whatnot, and you can see that I don't agree with them on so many levels, because I even had a relative responsible for not only kind of like, you know, modifying and getting like a bunch of like, you know, vending machines in the schools. I was like, what the hell are you thinking? Why are you getting your kids so overweight and fat? And not just that, there's some traditional values too, where I don't like the fact, and this may be a touchy subject for you, Kelly, but I think, Carrie, but I think a lot of the carnivore community would actually agree with me. I don't like the fact that they're taking a lot of the children 10 years old to drag shows and kind of screwing up with their kind of overall heads and then installing tampon machines in the boys' bathrooms. And they're kind of grown up like, oh, my God, I'm not having a menstrual cycle every month and I'm a boy. What's wrong with me? And they're like, oh, don't worry. You know, we're going to, you're open. If you do feel like you're a real girl on the inside, we're going to give you some hormonal medications. And now we're going back to the pharmaceuticals. And as you may know, you know, a lot of these hormonal medications can really screw up their overall development. So I really think that there should be a huge focus on how we're treating not only the kids' physical and natural health, but also their mental health. And I think that's a huge issue that needs to be addressed too in the campaign.
Yeah. You know, I set out when I was doing this documentary, it's going to all be about the carnivore diet. But one of the things I realized is, I think the reason that so many people find healing is we're kind of returning to what's closest to natural for humans, or what's ancestrally appropriate, or what we've done since the start of time. And the further away we get from that, it's like the sicker we get with everything you just mentioned, the lockdowns,
It's almost like they want us. When you think about it, some of these larger agencies, it's like, oh my God, maybe they are trying to depopulate the earth. And that's kind of going back to some of like Bill Gates' comments. You're like, you know, we're overpopulated. We need to address the depopulation. And I think it was him and Kamala Harris actually both admitted on the record that we need to kind of reduce the population. I'm like, okay, so how are you going to reduce the population? Get everybody sick and dying? And like, and also kind of increase the revenues for Bill Gates as his hands with Pfizer and Moderna, like making quite a bit of money. People need to recognize what's actually happened behind the curtains. And I'm happy to expose that. And I can already tell you that just in the last kind of like 6 or 7 weeks, kind of like running, like, you know, kind of promoting my campaign, I made a huge statement about changing our health, promoting more. I didn't even say just everybody need to be carnivore, because as you may recognize, when the in-person podcast that I did with Dr. Kiltz a few weeks ago, when it comes out, when I think it's going to go live in a couple of weeks, you know, him and I had a consensus, like, you know, it's probably not reality to change everybody to carnivore. And I do believe the carnivore is going to be like the true center of the pure bliss, if you want to get to a really true ketogenic, like anti-inflammatory diet. But just getting people to reduce a lot of the excess carbohydrates and grains and like excess sugars is one thing that really needed to be changed. So it's making, you know, really kind of embracing a ketogenic lifestyle, even if it's not completely meat. And right when I started making these open statements and doing these videos on LinkedIn, I got so much hate mail. And just the fact that I want to make America first and really try to, and when I speak out against the vaccines, I actually got threats for speaking out against the vaccines. Like, oh my God, you're gonna kill everybody by keeping them off vaccines. And even my own brother doesn't want to hang out. He's like, you know what? I kind of don't want to hang out with you because you're campaigning, because I think people are going to try to kill you. And I'm like, you know, you can't really live your life in fear. If no one's going to step up, then someone has to step up. And I'm happy to take the labor. And I'm used to getting threats as an attorney anyway. So I'm like, you're not going to really scare me. So no, people need to step up, get against, you know, speak out against these agencies. And even though the carnivore community is very strong, and that's why I feel like it's very kind of like, I feel very welcoming too. You know, it's very compassionate, but to make actual changes at a national or even global level, you need to have someone kind of making these statements out loud with all the, you know, at the legislative hearings, at someone at a congressional level. And that's why I do believe I can serve a huge benefit to the carnivore community and essentially the entire ketogenic or functional health community.
Absolutely. Well, one question I want to ask you, because every carnivore interview I get, people always ask this one, and you kind of narrowed it down a little bit before, but this is kind of a basic one. But I have a lot of new carnivores that are watching my channel. What's your typical day like, food-wise? What are you eating?
I've learned that even though I do believe that beef is going to be a lot more nutrient dense and quality than poultry, I've kind of developed a sense where I started buying, I think there's like probably 15 different, there's probably more, but I know there's about 15 different farms throughout the United States that sell corn-free and soy-free poultry and pork. So one of the things I started doing is, especially with North Star Bison, because it's really quality, pure meat, and that's a little pricier, but I love doing a bunch of like soy-free chicken, like with skin on, breast, like, you know, baking out for lunch. And then at night, the ribeye is kind of like the standard, but you know what I actually started doing? I admitted this to Dr. Kills. I know if I kind of put a video of me eating raw meat, it's going to make people go crazy. And I'm like, I even spoke with my campaign manager. I was like, hey, you know what? If I'm eating a raw meat, do you think the Americans like, we got to ease into that because a lot of people are going to think you're a complete wacko if you're eating raw meat. I'm like, no, I'm actually probably in better shape than most 39-year-old attorneys that I know. I'm turning 40 in a couple months, so I want to make sure. And part of my 40th is going to be this big meetup we're going to do in Vegas, by the way, too. So I want to make it very large. But I was like, no, this is something that's probably the most soothing that I feel I actually digest it better. I actually get like, I'll even show you some videos, is that I get a fattier piece of quality meat. It's usually, there's a Sprouts close to me, and Sprouts actually has some quality meat. And I usually get like a skirt steak or even like some fatter kind of like boneless kind of like short ribs. And I feed them, I have my own meat grinder, and I feed it through a meat grinder at night if I had a long day. Eating just, if you grind your own meat and you just eat it straight with a spoon, it's the most soothing thing on your gut. Mm. And TMI, but my bowel movements actually look more normal after this. It's like, it's actually something I do believe is going to treat in the gut. That, or if I ever do cook meats, I'd either do like a black and blue sear, kind of like a quick sear on both sides. Kind of like they, I think when I was at Austin, Texas, I took my campaign manager out to the Longhorn Steakhouse, not too far from where we had that event with you and Dr. Kiltz. And they call it the Pittsburgh style. So you do black and blue. So a quick sear on both sides, very rare on the inside. Or if I do another type of cooking is I do a slow roast. A slow roast at a very low temperature, because I've found that my body really doesn't like too much rendered fat. So when you cook, and when you actually go treat with the Paleo Medicina Clinic, they're not doing too much inpatient work now. They're doing more research. And I think I'm working with Dr. Clemens with her new book. So I just spoke with her recently. She wants to use me as a case study, as like one of the healing case studies, is they never really overcook their meats. They usually do like a slow and low kind of style of cooking. I learned that with a lot of different meats, and not just that, it makes it so much more tender. So yeah, sometimes, and I also like a lot of bison and venison too. I think when I got sick from mold a couple of years ago, my iron levels really plummeted. When you get sick from mold, like your body like really just kind of goes really inflammatory. But I remember I didn't want to take a lot of like iron pills or iron infusions. So what I did is I stuck with a lot of bison and venison to get my iron levels back up. So that's another thing that's part of, I usually kind of rotate it around. And I think I purchased from probably like 12 to 15 different farms kind of like throughout the year. And I always try like at a new farm. And whenever I see something that's selling like corn-free or soy-free poultry, you know, for a lot, if I ever eat a bad quality chicken, I can completely taste it. Not only does it make me nauseous, but it feels kind of like burning, because maybe it's just because it's so many inflammatory omega-6s that you're having like quality. But if you actually can, if you Google omega-3 chicken, you're probably going to go to Slinker Beef out of Texas. And they're one of the few farms that sells soy-free, corn-free chicken. And you'll realize when they actually did the testing of the omega-3s and omega-6s, it's actually almost similar to beef. Because most poultry and pork, as you may know, has a very bad omega-6-to-3 ratio. But if you actually get corn-free and soy-free chicken or pork, it's a lot more balanced. And it's actually very, very tasty. I recommend it if you haven't really dove into the corn-free or soy-free chicken lately.
I have to check that out. It's one thing I've been learning more of on my journey here is it's like we have chickens. We have a little homestead here, so we have our own chickens. And so chickens weren't intended to eat corn. That's not their natural diet. Cows weren't intended to eat grains. Humans weren't intended to eat grains. It's like when you do these things that are unnatural, all of us get sick. Yeah. We're actually getting a big flock of chickens, baby chicks, and I'm doing them all natural. No corn, no grains. They're going to forage and insects. And
yeah, foraging like insects is like the most natural way, because I just know when I research it a little more. And when for my PhD, all you do is research. You're researching qualitative and quantitative research, basically. Peer-reviewed journals, but you're studying everything else. And I learned that, yeah, well, I think the reason why cows and a lot of ruminant meats can have, you know, be grass-fed and, you know, only eat grass is because they have like a multiple stomach system where they can digest like all that. But I think when it comes to pork and poultry, they have like a single or two stomach system where they can't digest it as much. It's almost like kind of like similar to like humans. Like, you know, we can't eat grass. I realize, especially when you have after you get your intestines cut open and one, a portion of your intestine is very pinched from all the scar tissue, I can't afford to eat fiber. It'll cause a blockage. So I have to eat. I have to absorb most of my own food. That's one thing I realized, that I was absorbing. I was having a lot less stool output when I was actually eating quality beef. But not just that, everything was very smooth. I was not having any kind of stricture problems. So you realize that, you know, animals and humans, they have their own kind of stomach systems, that we eat what we need to in order to be properly nourished and proper survive. And people need to eat for survival if they really want to nourish themselves.
Absolutely. One other question I have for you, a lot of new carnivores on the channel, is if there's people out there that are suffering, they have health issues, suffering maybe like you were, they're considering carnivore. A lot of people are reluctant. They can't wrap their brain around it, but they want to do something. What sort of advice would you give them?
It's hard for a lot of people to go cold turkey. I would say start increasing your meat intake, start reducing everything else. I just know for a lot of people that try to go cold turkey, sometimes it's not even, they're just sick from eating the meat. Like, they'll realize they'll have some kind of like, it's almost kind of like a placebo effect there, or kind of effect, like, you know, like their brain, like, oh my God, I didn't eat any fruits and vegetables throughout the day, I have to eat it. So I think a slow transition, but I think they should also address every other aspect part of their life too. One thing I spoke about with your colleague Adam is, there's a reason why attorneys have the highest suicide rates out of all professions. It's because we have the most stressful profession. You need to really manage your overall stressful environment. One of the things I do when I get home, I don't even watch TV. Half the time I listen to music, but I learned that when I do watch television on the weekends, usually I need to have some offensive comedy. I think comedy, as you may know, laughter is something that promotes our natural and longevity. I think that's something that needs to be included. So not only do I want to make America healthy and great again, but I want to make offensive humor great again as well too. So I was telling Adam, like, one of my favorite comedians is like Dave Chappelle, because I like him and South Park and Family Guy, because I like when they make fun of everybody. It's not just narrowed at like one specific race or kind of like, you know, sexual orientation. They make fun of everybody, so it's like fair game. You know, if you want to, want to make fun of Italian attorneys, and you know, it's really easy. But you know what? I think it's fair game as long as we're making fun of everybody else too. So, I think managing your stressful system is going to be a huge component, because a lot of people, what drives their cravings for sugar is stress. A lot of female attorneys that I know, I can tell when they're stressed because they start binging like crazy. And I'm like, you know, I was like, you know what, you need to calm down. And I could just tell they just feel so uncomfortable. And for me, I'll be honest with you, I never really had much of a sweet tooth. Even when I was partying in college, I really didn't have, I'd probably have a carb tooth where I'd kind of like, oh my God, I really need to eat something really big and heavy after the bar or something like that. But I never really had a sweet tooth for like, you know, chocolate or sweets or like that. But I think that needs to be managed too, is not only kind of eating basically to make yourself healthier and eating less crap, but you need to manage your overall your environment to less stress, and you need to have the balance with the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. I had to learn that too, because I'm an adrenaline junkie. I still jumped out of airplane earlier this year, and I love skydiving. But sometimes when your adrenaline can override your natural way to kind of calm down, it's like it does actually affect your gut when you're too much of an adrenaline junkie. So I think you have to find some balances in life too. And if you're, and also your support system, a lot of my family do not support me. It's very unfortunate. They're not really even supporting my campaign too much, because they don't like the fact that I'm speaking against pharmaceuticals. They don't like the fact that I'm promoting ketogenic diet. I think even like my father laughed at me when I told him I was getting my PhD in public policy, even though my credentials are more than him, because I'm kind of at like a competition as attorneys. Because he's an attorney, my other uncle is an attorney, my other uncle is a retired judge, my grand uncle is an attorney and all that. But I think I'm like the one black sheep. But I when I want to hang out with people, it's not going to be really attorneys. It's not really going to be family. It's usually people from the health and fitness industry. So most of my friends are people that I personally trained with for like, you know, 20 years ago. And that's why I just enjoy kind of the, you know, the carnivore community, because I think it's a lot more compassionate and I think it's a lot more supportive. So yeah, I think definitely consider community as well.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Absolutely. On your earlier note, I want to bring back offensive comedy movies also. That's another one that we don't see a lot of anymore.
We do. We need some. Everything's so everybody is so offended by everything and anything nowadays. It just, this woke ideology is just killing us. It's just like, oh my God, you have to modify everything, and you really can't get some true offensive comedy. One of my favorite comedians was actually before my time, because I was born in 85. He was still alive when I was growing up, but George Carlin, I think that's the kind of comedian I like. So yeah, I think definitely offensive comedy is something we definitely need to embrace again. So Adam's recommendation, we concluded our last podcast, is like, if you really want to like really treat natural health, you get a quality steak when you get home and you watch some Dave Chappelle, like some Chappelle Show or something from like,
I think Adam. Adam saw Chappelle in person, so
I didn't realize that Chappelle actually lives right next to him. So it's kind of cool. I was like, man, I gotta go visit. So I've always wanted him. So,
right.
Yeah.
Awesome. This has been great, Christopher. I really appreciate your time and you sharing your story. I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. How can people follow your campaign and support you and keep up to date with everything you're doing?
For the last 5 or 6 years, I was doing a lot of pro bono stuff for a lot of the carnivore community. They're just finding my website, which is brandonlaw.com. That's my law firm website. But probably 3 weeks ago, my campaign, once I got approved with the FEC, is now I'm on Ballotpedia. And so I know a lot of people are going to be attacking me. They're like, oh, he's the carnivore lawyer. That, you know, he's going to be, he's the meat eater. He's the psychotic meat eater. No, I'm trying to embrace that, but she set up the website for me, my campaign website. It's chrisbrandlin.com, not Christopher, but chrisbrandlin.com. And what we just also updated, because I was working with Dr. Kiltz and Leah for the last couple of weeks, is that we arranged, I'm going to be hosting a very large meetup, July 19th. It's going to be shortly after my 40th, but I want to make it a very, very large function. I'm also going to want to make it very affordable, because I know a lot of people, they're saying like, they're stuck with finances. They can't travel a lot, and, you know, meat stock, you know, something that's bigger, but it's a little more expensive. So I'm actually going to see if I can self-fund a lot of my own earnings, because I work my ass off and I don't have any wife or kids. I occasionally date, but I want to make sure that a lot of my hard earnings kind of go to the community to enjoy it. So I'm going to make this very affordable. So it's going to be a Las Vegas meetup. It is on my website, and it's actually with special guest Dr. Kiltz, and I would love for you to come as well, Carrie. So that'll be kind of cool. But it's going to be July 19th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. I checked out a couple different venues, but I want to get something larger, because I'm also going to invite all the functional health communities. I have some friends that run some gyms in Las Vegas. I want to invite all the fitness communities and the ketogenic community in general. It's mainly going to be carnivore-based, because it is a meetup spelled M-E-A-T-U-P, and it's run by Brandlin for Congress as the carnivore lawyer, but I want to have a lot of other people attend, and I really want to get a lot more attention and support for the carnivore community. I think this is going to bring out, because I may actually have a lot of people from Team Kennedy coming too, and I think this would be a good opportunity for a lot of people for us to come together. So go to chrisbrandlin.com. And also, the more people that donate to the campaign, I'm allowed to use the campaign funds. I got to trace it with the FEC to pay for this big function. So I did want to make I think I proposed like a Noah's Ark style of a buffet where like two of every animal for like everybody to eat. And when I actually looked at the finances, I was like, oh my God, I just spent like all my life savings and I'm actually taking out some loans to pay for this campaign. I'm not sure if I can buy two of every animal, but I want to have a huge feast basically too. So that would be a way to find me is chrisbranlin.com. A lot of people get my contact and I'm going to be with you at Yuma in a few weeks too. So,
oh, nice. Yes. Awesome. Well, I'm excited. I will have links in the description for all of that. I'm going to check my calendar to see if I can make that. If Dr. Kiltz and I go hand in hand to all of these meetups. So
he just confirmed that because he selected that date, but he had to confirm with Aaliyah that he can actually come. But yeah, that's why we're putting him as a special guest. And I would love to list you as an additional special guest as well.
Oh, I'd love to go. I'll check my calendar after this and see if it's sure. There's one other event, I think, shortly after that. But I really appreciate your time and you sharing your story and happy to shout out what you're doing. Link in the description below for everything Chris is doing. So thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Yep. Have a good day.